Please be seated. It's a pleasure to be back again.
Welcome back. Glad to have you here.
And we had a very nice evening last night with dinner and conversation, and left with full stomachs. And I think what else I had. I think I'm on the right course with my sermon this morning. I was talking with Joe beforehand that I couldn't remember if I were here last year.
It was morning prayer this Sunday last year.
So I wasn't sure if I was going to repeat myself.
Well, we wouldn't remember if we needed here. Yeah. We needed twice.
Obviously, I couldn't remember. But it is a pleasure to be back and to see all of you, and we really enjoy this opportunity. I take my text from today's epistle passage, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer."
Amen.
What makes us a Christian? Is it simply saying I'm a Christian? I'm sure this has been a topic of many a sermon. To get an idea of what lies behind today's passage from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, it is helpful to understand what makes us a Christian. Truly, we must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but that alone does not make us a Christian. The indelible mark that makes us a Christian is baptism. Baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is an act of dying to sin through the water of baptism and being reborn unto Christ. We become a new person and enter into a new relationship with God and the world as God's adopted children and inheritors of His kingdom. But there is more. Becoming this new person also brings with it certain responsibility. Responsibility for our own salvation. We do not earn salvation simply by submitting to baptism. It requires action on our part. Being a Christian is not passive. It is in every sense active. For example, God freely gives His grace, but it is up to us to accept it. God feeds us, sustains us with the bread of heaven and the Holy Eucharist, but it is up to us to go to the altar and receive it. God holds open the door to heaven, but it is up to us to go through it. Now, how does this relate to what St. Paul is saying in his letter to the Galatians? We must understand that St. Paul was being challenged at every turn on two fundamental aspects of his ministry. First, his claim to be an apostle, and second, his claim that salvation through Jesus Christ had been extended to the Gentiles. Though finally accepted as an apostle because of his personal encounters with our Lord on the road to Damascus, it remained a point of contention with many in the early church because Paul had not actually been with Jesus during his ministry, nor had actually been a witness to the resurrection. But the real bone of contention with certain of Jewish Christians was Paul's work to carry on the gospel to the Gentiles. The thinking of some in the early church was that salvation was for the Jews alone, that Christ came to bring salvation to the Jews and no one else, that Gentiles were outside the sphere of grace. These Jewish Christians were called Judaizers. Paul was writing this letter to the church in Galatia in response to the Jewish Christian teachers and preachers who were attempting to undo Paul's work by insisting that the Gentile converts to Christianity must be circumcised and keep the law. They must be good Jews in order to be Christians. There are two notable points in their argument. First, by being Jews, the Christian converts would be protected from persecution by the Romans, as Rome recognized and allowed Jews to practice their religion. These Christian converts would also be afforded some protection from Jews themselves, as they would bear the mark of a Jew through circumcision. Second, by submitting to circumcision and by keeping all the rules of the law, they would earn God's approval and thus be entitled to salvation. But it must be noted, too, that these Jewish Christians themselves did not keep all the law, that is, the Mosaic law, and all the minutiae that had been attached to it. Keeping all the law was impossible. So, in essence, the Gentile converts would be reduced to legalistic slavery. All of this flew in the face of St. Paul's gospel, that only through faith in Jesus Christ and in what he wrought on the cross could a person be saved. There is no entitlement to salvation. It is not something we earn. It is not a reward given to us for keeping the law or for just being baptized. Christ had fulfilled the law and had freed mankind from its bondage. But this did not mean that the law itself was void or no longer of any worth. For the law, the Ten Commandments, as given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, is an essential part of our journey to grace. It serves to tell us what sin is, and as the sinful creatures that we are, we can see from the law that we cannot of ourselves keep it. We see in the law our own weakness as sinners. Having endowed us with free will, the ability to choose between right and wrong, God thus made known to us his law of right and wrong in giving us the Ten Commandments. These commandments contain the moral law representing our duty towards God and our duty towards our neighbor. It is in the Ten Commandments that we find the rule of life that serves to keep us on the right path and to keep us from straying into forbidden territory. And in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave the law a fuller and wider meaning that we Christians have come to accept as the law of love. Paul did not reject the law. He rejected the premise that keeping the law itself was itself a guarantee of salvation. His focus was on faith and a newness of life that could not be brought about by circumcision, but only by the power of Almighty God. Through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, we have become new creatures. When we are baptized, we die into sin and rise to a new life in Christ Jesus. Through God's grace, a deep and radical change takes place. Our former prejudices, habits, attachments pass away. Our love of sin of the world pass away. Pride and vanity give way to humility. Our purpose in life, the feelings in our heart, all become new. As a new creature, we can now focus on the means of our salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, and faith in what his death on the cross has accomplished for us. With this faith, and strengthened by God's grace freely given, we can find peace and mercy and everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.